Hi, my name is Judith Hubbard, and I'm a principal investigator at the Earth Observatory of Singapore. Recently, there were some earthquakes around New Zealand that created some ground shaking. And the immediate question that people had was, could these earthquakes produce damaging tsunamis that could hit not just New Zealand, but even travel across the Pacific to Hawaii or to other parts of the Pacific Rim? In these situations, it's important that we be able to assess very quickly whether or not the earthquake could produce tsunamis, because people need to have time to plan and to evacuate if a tsunami is coming in. And the immediate response from these earthquakes was that there was a chance of a tsunami wave of maybe 3 meters height hitting New Zealand. It turns out the waves were not as big as people had thought. That does not mean that the tsunami warning process didn't work, because those earthquakes did seem like possible tsunami candidates. They had a lot of slip, they were fairly shallow in the crust, and that kind of earthquake that we can detect from the seismology deforms the seafloor. Now, the way that tsunamis are produced when there's an earthquake is that the earthquake is caused by slip on a fault. The fault is like a boundary between two of the tectonic plates. And when there's slip on a fault, sometimes that slip changes the shape of the seafloor. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it causes horizontal motion and you don't get a lot of change in the seafloor. But in this case, we could tell that one side of the fault was being lifted up by several meters compared to the other side. When you lift up the seafloor, you have to lift up everything on top of the seafloor, and that's the ocean. So you lift up the ocean, it creates a bulge in the shape of the ocean, and gravity wants that ocean to go back to flat. So the wave has to travel out from the source. It travels out across the ocean, quite quickly across the areas where the ocean floor is deep. But then it slows down as it reaches shallower areas or it reaches land. The wave builds up, and that wave can wash in and inundate parts of the coast. In this case, it turned out that we were wrong, that this particular earthquake, even though it was big, even though it could deform the seafloor, didn't produce a very large tsunami. And looking back, we can tell that there's reasons that this happened. Even though the earthquake was pretty shallow, a lot of the slip happened deeper. It started at a shallower depth, but the rupture, the break in the fault, went down deeper inside the earth. And that still deformed the seafloor, but it was over a broader zone and it was not as much uplift. And that's probably most of the reason why these particular earthquakes were not that damaging. Also, the earthquake wasn't that close to land. And so there was no land right nearby that was going to be immediately impacted by the tsunami. And the tsunami spread out over a wider area. So when it did hit land, the tsunami wave was not as high. It's really important that we tell in advance whether earthquakes can cause large tsunamis, because tsunamis have an opportunity for saving lives. In an earthquake, we don't know how to predict when and where the ground shaking will happen. So we can't tell people to evacuate most of the time. But in a tsunami, we can actually detect the earthquake. And so we have a chance to save lives by allowing people to move to higher ground or move into tall buildings so that they're not at risk of being washed away by the waves. But we're always going to get some things wrong. Sometimes we'll say an earthquake could produce a tsunami and it won't. Sometimes we'll think that an earthquake won't produce a tsunami, and it will. And that's because there's a lot of extra complexities that can happen. Sometimes a tsunami will cause a landslide that travels into the ocean, or even a landslide under the ocean that we can't see. And when there is a landslide, that's also pushing away the water and it's changing the shape of the seafloor. There's a recent case a couple of years ago in Indonesia where an earthquake of magnitude 7.5 caused submarine landslides. And those submarine landslides pushed the ocean water and it caused large tsunamis of more than 2 meters height to hit the city of Palu in Sulawesi, washing away many people. We still don't know exactly how many people were washed away by that landslide, by that tsunami. In Southeast Asia, there's fault systems all around the edge of Southeast Asia, and many fault systems also within Southeast Asia. And those fault systems are both on land and underwater. And so it's really important for the people of Southeast Asia that we understand how those different fault systems can produce earthquakes and what kinds of earthquakes they can produce. And then what are the secondary effects of those earthquakes? And those secondary effects may be tsunamis, they may be landslides. There may even be some links between these earthquakes and volcanic activity. For the people in Southeast Asia who are exposed to all these different hazards, it's important that we learn about the science of how these different hazards relate to each other, how often we expect to see them, and for the ones that we can predict, or the ones that we can forecast, provide useful information to people in those areas so that they can respond and we can save lives and protect infrastructure.